A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus spoke to his disciples about the end which is to come. In those days, after the time of suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Dr. Wilder Penfield is recognized as one of the greatest neurosurgeons who ever lived. His research and his drawings on the human brain pinpoint precise accuracy, which locations in the brain control the different activities of the body. And Penfield wrote several books and actually several hundred scientific articles dealing with the experiments he conducted at Montreal's Neurological Institute. And one discovery involved touching the temporal cortex of the brain with a gentle electric current. While patients were under a local anesthetic. So they could then describe to Penfield what they experienced when the gentle electric current touched their brain. And what they told Penfield was amazing. One patient, for example, recalled an old tune he had learned to play as a child. Another began to relive the experience of bearing her first child. Another, a bricklayer, he experienced laying bricks at a construction project he worked on some 30 years earlier, could see exactly how he was positioning the brick, how he had to cut it in half to make it fit, and everything that he was doing. But even more amazing was that the people would remember the emotions that were connected to those events. For example, if one of the events involved stealing, it also included what the person thought, whether their person thought the action was right or wrong at the time. And in a report to the Smithsonian Institute, Dr. Penfield said his research indicated that the human brain contains a permanent record of everything we ever experienced in our life, and that when the temporal cortex of the brain is touched with a gentle electric current, it activates a kind of movie or soundtrack of all the moments in our life, even if we've forgotten them. They're all there. And it not only activates them and replays them for us, but it shows us how we interpret them at the time they took place, whether we thought that what we were doing was good or bad. This prompted one person to comment on his research findings, saying, "You know, I'll tell you a secret, my friend. When you appear before Christ to be judged, you will not need an angel to read off your good and bad deeds from a great book. Your deeds are already available for replay in your own brain. All that is needed is for them to be activated." So how does this relate to today's gospel? Well, in today's gospel, we're told that Jesus spoke to his disciples about the end which is to come. So in other words, Jesus is telling his apostles that the day will come in their lives when on Earth when their life here on Earth will come to an end, either at the natural end of our lives or at the second coming. In fact, there will be a last day for all of us. And what does Scripture say will happen on that last day? Well, judgment. As St. Paul writes, he says, all of us must appear before Christ to be judged, and we will receive what we deserve for everything we did in our body, whether good or bad. And the Bible tells us on what we will be judged on. It gives us the question ahead of time, before the final exam. At that final judgment, when we come face to face with God, God will not ask us about what accomplishments we made in the world, or how much wealth or success we attained. Nor will he ask us how much we received. Instead, he will ask, what have you given? Did you give love by the way in which you lived your life? And for those people who lived a very high degree of love for God and love for neighbor by the end of their lives, for those who, with God's grace, died in a state where they loved God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, and with all their strength, and who loved their neighbor as themselves, for those who are, as Jesus said, perfect in love as God is perfect in love, and those who have no longer any trace of impurity or selfishness left in them when they die, they will be welcomed into heaven right away. As the first reading says today, they will rise to everlasting life. Those, however, who chose not to love God in their lives, who chose to live life according to their own selfish agenda and their own plans, who rejected God's will and plan for them, they will then be given what they chose, to be separated from God, separated from love, from all goodness, all beauty, for all eternity, and that's what Scripture calls hell. It'll be what they've chosen for themselves. And as the first reading says, they will rise to everlasting, eternal shame, contempt, and horror. And for those who died with love of God in their heart, but that love was not yet perfected, they will go to purgatory. Purgatory is a place where they will be purified of past sins that were forgiven but not yet sufficiently atoned for. And they will be purified of any remaining attachments to venial sin in their lives and of any remaining attachments to things of this world. Because Scripture tells us that nothing impure can enter heaven. Only those whose love is completely purified and have atoned for the least shadow of sin in their life, they will be able to enter heaven right away. A simple illustration, I think, might help us appreciate this teaching from Scripture a little bit better. If we compare dying to kind of like being born. You know, when we die to this earthly life, it's at that moment that you and I are born into eternity. And if we compare that to a child being born in this world. So, for example, if we are born into eternity, completely spiritually healthy, filled only with the love of God and love for others, then, like a healthy newborn baby, we're ready to be taken by God into our eternal home in heaven. If, however, we're born into eternity spiritually alive with love in our hearts for God and other people, but that love is very weak or sick, due to a certain amount of selfishness that is still present in our hearts, then, like a newborn baby born alive but very sick, we would first need to go to the hospital to be healed and strengthened before we can be taken to our home in heaven. And that spiritual hospital the church calls purgatory. But if we enter into and are born into eternity, but we're spiritually dead, we have no love of God in our hearts, then that would be like being stillborn into eternity. And just as a stillborn baby in this life is not brought home, but is brought to the morgue, so a stillborn soul is also taken to that spiritual morgue, which is called hell. And so what our judgment will be at the end of our lives depends completely on us and how we choose to live our lives now, day by day. And it will be the quality and the depth of holy love in our hearts, or the absence of it, that will determine our destiny for all eternity. And the saints, and since this month, the month of November, the church dedicates to souls in purgatory and asks us to pray for souls in purgatory, might be good to remember that all the saints and mystics for the last 2,000 years, they've been 100% unanimous in saying that the vast majority of people who die and who are saved, the vast majority will have to pass through some time in purgatory first. Because very, very few people die as canonized saints. Very, very few people die with a perfect love in their hearts for God and for others. And very, very few people die who have also sufficiently atoned for all their past sins. And so they are unanimous in saying that the vast majority who are saved will need to pass through purgatory first. And so that is why it is really important for us to pray for souls in purgatory, and the church dedicates the month of November in a special way to this. Because souls in purgatory cannot do a single thing to help themselves gain heaven more quickly. Just as a sick baby in a hospital cannot operate on itself or cure itself, but depends totally on the doctors and nurses to nurture it back to health, so souls in purgatory depend completely on our prayers and good works that we offer for them to reach that perfection of love necessary to enter heaven. And these souls, on the one hand, they've seen God, and they know that one day they will be in heaven, so they're filled with a joy, the saints say, that go beyond anything we can experience here on earth. But at the same time, they've seen and tasted infinite love, goodness, and beauty. And so their desire to be God, to be with God now with every fiber of their being, but they're not able to do so. And so that is a pain and suffering, the saints say, that go beyond anything that we can experience here on earth as well. And so it is a great act of charity to daily offer some prayers for souls in purgatory. And a couple of suggestions as to how we could do that. Well, since most of us, I think, try to pray the rosary every day, we could reserve one decade of the rosary and offer it for souls in purgatory. Or we could pray a second rosary if we have time, and each decade could be offered for a different part of purgatory. The first decade we could offer maybe for those souls who are most in need, the furthest down in purgatory. The second decade we could maybe offer for those who are closest to heaven, who just need a little gentle helping hand to cross the threshold into heaven. The third decade we could offer for our own relatives and friends. The fourth one we could offer for those who have nobody to pray for them. And the fifth one we could maybe offer for our fellow parishioners. It's also really good practice to regularly have a Mass offered for those who are close to us, because Mass is the most powerful prayer we have. And as we pray for the souls in purgatory, the saints say God allows the souls to know who it is who's praying for them. And they will be so grateful that they will also pray for us in a very powerful way, and they can gain many extra graces for us. And let us also foster within our own hearts a desire of reaching heaven without having to pass through purgatory ourselves. To have a great desire to achieve the necessary purification of love in this life, so and to make up sufficiently for all our unworthy thoughts, words, and actions of the past, so that when we die, we can be welcomed immediately into heaven. There is an insert in the bulletin today entitled Devotion to the Holy Wounds of Jesus. These were prayers, apparently, that Jesus gave to St. Bridget of Sweden many years ago, and with a promise that those who pray this devotion daily, that at the end of their lives, they will be able to pass by purgatory. They will have made up for all their sins of the past. And so the message of today's gospel, I think, is terribly important because it deals with the bottom line of life. It deals also with our eternal destiny. Our life on earth is a journey. It will come to an end, and then comes judgment. And then, as the first reading says, it will either be everlasting life and love and joy for all eternity, either right away or after some time in purgatory, or it will be everlasting death, horror, and shame for all eternity. So let us pray for the grace today to take to heart the word of the Lord today and really want to live and be able to live in such a way that when we do appear before God for judgment, we will hear him say to us, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter now into the joy of your God for all eternity."